Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Pete Cantor here with Stone Payton, ASTD 2014. Got an old friend here, huh, Stone?
We most certainly do. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce the chairman of the ROI Institute, Mr. Jack Phillips. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It is such a pleasure to have you back on the microphone. Talk to us a little bit about what you've already shared with many of our ASTD friends on measuring learning success. How are you doing that?
Hey, we're doing it lots of different ways. At the conference, we're speaking to two different groups. We did pre-conference workshops. We just left the bookstore where we're selling books. You know, with ASTD, we've got 45 books with them, if you can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd say 25, 30 of those are focusing on measuring the success of learning. So we work this process in a lot of different ways.
Well, with the amount of money that people invest in learning, I think it's a pretty good idea to measure success, huh?
Yes, you have to these days. It's not only a good idea, but it's required by some, and it certainly would be delightful for others.
Now, is there a way that you can measure success in a meaningful way for the executives at these companies?
There is. We take it all the way to ROI, return on investment. See, we measure the reaction to the learning. We measure the actual learning that took place in terms of skills and knowledge. Then we measure how you've applied it. That's the application. And then we measure the impact, the business impact connected to the training. And then we can convert, if we want to, we can convert that to money and compare it to the cost of the program to get your financial ROI. So it's possible to have data that's calculated the same way that a chief financial officer would calculate the return on investment for a capital expenditure, for example.
So what are some of the more common questions and even misconceptions that you're getting from people as you go out and you share these messages?
Oh, yes. We've got some very common ones. First, there's a concern that this is too complicated. You know, it's too much for me. Well, not really. We can actually do this with fourth grade mathematics, so it's not that difficult. Second, there's a concern that it just takes too much time, too many resources, but not really. It's just a little more time than we'd probably put in it now, so we'll have to do a few extra things than we do. And then there's a big concern. If my program is negative, what does that mean for me?
Yeah, what's the job security?
Oh, yeah. I mean, am I dead? My team's dead? My program's dead? We're all dead.
Or are we going to celebrate that now we know not to do that anymore?
Right.
That's learning, too, you know.
So we have to remind people, hey, you got to do this when you don't have to do it. You got to be proactive. And we approach this always with process improvement, not performance evaluation. Hey, and we want to tell people up front, hey, this is not your performance, your team's performance, the participant's performance, no one's performance. It's the performance of the program. And mm-hmm. if it's not working so well, we want to fix it. So we try to get that performance concern out of the way so we can make it more successful that way.
So are there some new measures that you're beginning to identify that you're encouraging people to start capturing that maybe they haven't given much attention in the past?
Yes. See, and when you look at these levels, the five levels, let's just start with the first one just very quickly. If you're measuring, when you're measuring at level one, reaction, and most everyone does that here, mm-hmm. We want to make sure you have one of these five measures. And one of those is relevance of your content to my job. Another one is the importance of this content to my own success. Another one is, would I recommend it to others? And another one, is it new information for me? And even another one is, do I intend to use it? So those are powerful measures at level one, reaction, that often have a predictive capability or even application and sometimes impact.
Mm-hmm.
And when you move to learning, obviously a lot of learning measures, but let's go to application for just a minute. When we go to application, we want to know five things always on a follow-up to see if people are using the training. One, it would be the extent of use, like on a five-point scale. Another would be the frequency of use.
Mm-hmm.
And another one would be the success we're having with use. And finally, the last two would be the barriers to success and the enablers to success. And so That gives you five key performance indicators at level three. If we just get people to measure at those levels, we'd be doing great.
So now, when you're dealing with high potential employees, does this work as well?
Yes, particularly with high potentials. They cost a lot of money. They're valuable to us. We want to make sure that they not only learn and apply, but they stay with us. And so they are very eager to learn a lot, and they really want to take on challenges and make it successful for them. So they are often not only important to have them in the programs, but they're willing to give us good data as well because they really are engaged into this. And so we got to do this because they're so expensive and we lose so much when they leave.
And then it's an investment because in the whole company, when the company sees you investing in them, doesn't that bring up the whole organization?
Yes, it does. In fact, it can spur a lot of people to want to get into those same kind of programs. We've got one we're just looking at this week where they run the high potential program to draw some attention, and they're trying to get others to step up to the challenge to be in that category. And they publicize what it takes to be labeled a high potential. So it does bring up the whole organization.
So this must be a fun environment for you. You're highly regarded. You and your wife, both as luminaries, you get an opportunity to share your own ideas. But I bet you and Patty, you must enjoy walking the carpet and visiting with folks and learning from them as well, huh?
We learn what we know from others. And so this is great. We have had so many great clients in the last 21 years that we've had this RO Institute. And so we travel to at least 30 countries each year, and this is through our partners. We have 40 partners representing 60 countries. So the different cultures and countries and situations and organizations we get into are so interesting, and we learn so much. And so it's just like constant learning for us, but we're contributing to them as well. So it's a real enjoyable life. I wish everyone could enjoy the work as much as we do, and I'm sure some do, but unfortunately some don't.
So now, what was the talk you did earlier in the conference?
Yes, it was, we call it ROI 2.0. Now, what we're doing is celebrating our partnership with ASTD. So it was 20 years ago this month that we entered a partnership agreement. We published our first book with them. It was a book of
it was cutting edge, Jack.
At the time.
Cutting edge case studies. There's a rumor that it may be boring. It could be a vicious rumor, I think. So it started with that case study book, but now we fast forward with them and through them. We've published 45 books now. Again, many of them are supporting the measurement process. But we also have workshops with them and their continuing education sessions. We've got 3 workshops. And we support them with so much research and efforts. Hey, we're their only product they've endorsed in their 70-year history, and we're very proud of that. We didn't ask them to do that, but for selfish reasons, they did. And in other words, if they can help the members keep their budgets, enhance their budgets, hey, they got more money to pay for the membership dues, and that's the way it works.
Now, how have you seen this conference grow over the years?
Oh, it's amazing. It's just, we've seen it struggle sometimes during economic recessions, but it, you know, I can remember the first conference I spoke to, was 1978. I was speaking on ROI then. I had a roaring crowd of 12 people.
were you focusing on mobile learning then? How was mobile learning defined?
Used mobile device to get there.
Like a car, right?
So, yes, it's changed a lot. And the attendance, the participation of so many international visitors. You know, we have about 3,000 plus people here from other countries. This is the event globally if you're interested in learning and development. ASTD has really positioned this quite well. The exhibitors and the suppliers here are just second to none anywhere in the world. So we have something great here, and we just want to happy to be a part of it.
Now, when you were talking about global learning How does your message received when you travel around the world? Is it the same? Do they have the same challenges that your clients here in America have?
You know, we have some different challenges. First, the need for more accountability is everywhere. So you need to measure the success of anything that's commending a lot of resources and time, and learning does. So the need is there, whether it's in Pakistan, it's in the Sultanate of Oman, one of our countries we go to, or if it's China, which has tremendous amount of investment in this area. So they have the interest there. Second, there's sometimes a few cultural issues in terms of how we collect data, but the process is the same. It's the same process that we follow. And some countries do better at this. And sometimes it's the smaller countries. We see better success in Singapore and Ireland, for example, because they're small countries. There are only about 5 million people there. And they're small area, essentially. And our partnerships there often involve not only the training suppliers in the companies or organizations where they work, but it's also the universities and government. Mm-hmm. And so if we've got that kind of partnership, we can really get this stuff going quite well.
So you need those three elements in order to really have a robust opportunity for
It works much better that way. And it's sometimes hard to get those groups together because in some countries they don't really like each other.
That's why they need training and development.
And some ROI. Yeah. Every time I ask this question, part of the answer is always, well, we're writing another book. But yes. I still got to know, next 12, 18 months, where are you going to be putting your energy and effort? What is your point of focus going to be, you think?
Well, we'll probably might set a record on books this year. We may have 12 books out. I think that's...
Wow.
We have a book coming out. You mentioned mobile learning. Mm-hmm. This is an ASTD request that we write a book on showing you how to measure learning through technology. And that's not only e-learning and blended learning, but mobile learning and game-based learning.
Mm-hmm.
So that book is now done, and it's coming out next month. It didn't quite make the conferences, but that's a contribution we make there. We work with other publishers. We have a book coming out on human capital analytics with McGraw-Hill. We got books on this measuring ROI and environment, health, and safety, which is another area we work in. That just came out. We're working with the Society for Human Resource Management, which is another organization based here in the Washington, D.C. area. It has about 275,000 members, if you can imagine.
Wow.
We've got 5 books with them, and they're all ROI study books, case study books, around the different function of HR. So you can see we just keep working our process with different applications, different functions within an organization, different cultures, different countries. We just keep going.
Now, do you find that in today's world that people are hungry for more and more learning and training and development?
They are. In fact, if you go back 2 decades ago, you probably would... You wouldn't have anyone who would leave a company or not go to a company because it don't provide a lot of training and learning.
Mm-hmm.
These days, that's a big issue. You see, way back, we'd say, you know, I'm sure you're going to train me for what I need to know, and that's all I care about. But these days, people want to know, they want to learn more, because the best job security for a person is what they know and what they can do.
And they can control that.
They can control it. So they want to know, they want to learn, they want to be involved. So the demand in terms of participants is high. And it's so high that obviously a company, an organization can't meet all of that. They have to decide what they should be doing. And this is where we come in, because we can show them the payoff of relative programs, one compared to another.
Now, do you think that the increase in amount of training and development that's going on in the corporate world says anything about the lack of training that's going on in maybe the university world?
It does. A lot of employers we work with basically complain that they have to retrain people. They don't get the training they need sometimes in the public systems, even if they've been through a vocational system, they mm-hmm. still need a lot of training to get to where they need them. If it's out of the classic senior college or university, sometimes they don't have a lot of the good job-related skills that they need and how to survive in this kind of environment they're in. So they have to give the training. It'd be nice if they could come in and contribute without that, but they have to.
So can you do your ROI magic on these universities to get them to get these kids ready for jobs instead of... to be baristas at Starbucks?
Yes. That's the universities and colleges are one of the last groups to come into this. And so finally...
They don't like accountability.
No.
Hear about their ranking of kids getting into the school. You don't hear about the jobs the kids get after school.
They rank coming in but not going out.
Right.
So, yes. So, yes, we work with them. Mm-hmm. and all kinds of issues, from showing the value of a degree program to showing the value of all kinds of projects and programs they may have internally, even their own recruiting efforts. But more importantly, the rankings of the success of their graduates. Now, there's one good ranking that we see. It's out there. It's from Business Week, and it shows the ROI ranking of MBA programs. Now, what they do is calculate a change in your earnings as you go through the program and get the job after the MBA, and the cost of the program would be what you're paying for it, plus the time away from your work to go get the MBA. And so through an ROI calculation, very similar to what we do, they rank them. So the interesting thing there is that to be a high-ranked program, you either have to have a program that can have graduates who can command those salaries real high, or you got a lower price program. And so it really works across the whole spectrum here. So some of the top performers there are not your well-respected,
well-known
organizations or institutions.
So there's some good values out there if you want to get your MBA.
That's right.
All right, we got to turn him loose here in just a moment because he's got to go share some messages with some other folks. But before we do, where is the best place for our listeners to learn more about you, your work, the ROI Institute?
Hey, you can go to our website, roiinstitute.net. That's roiinstitute.net. You can send an email to me if you like. That's jack@roiinstitute.net. Or Patty, our co-founder and CEO. And that's Patty, P-A-T-T-I, at roiinstitute.net. So that'll get us into the organization. We'd be happy to get you anything you need.
Well, Jack, it's been an absolute delight as always. Please thank the boss, Patty, for letting you come out and visit with us.
Thank you so much for having me on board.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.